God.
Such a presence come in here, I didn't know if I could stand up. Glory to God. I think.
Oh, thank you, Lord. I'd rather have Jesus. You know, it's so sad when I look back on it now, because when I first got turned on to faith, and to be honest, you know, so carnal. Just so, I mean, I love Jesus, but just so carnal. I know many of you think, still is. Maybe. But I lost my love for that song for a while. Boy, I've sure got it back. I'd rather have Jesus. I mean, I thank God He blesses us abundantly. He does. He just does. But boy, I don't even have to think what my choice is. Don't even have to think for a minute. You know, if you really set out to serve Jesus, the devil's going to make you the same offer. Some point in your life, especially in you, even if you go into full-time ministry, the devil's going to offer you a compromise. He's going to try and buy you and have you make merchandise of the sheep. And he doesn't do it just once. He does it several times. If you don't fall for it this year, he'll try you in a month or two. If you don't fall for it then, he'll try you. I'd rather have Jesus. And I think, you know, I had no idea that this was going to happen. Because I'm supposed to talk about hope, you know. All I want to do right now is go just get in my prayer closet and be with Him for a little while. You're going to have to help me. I'm not going to be able to talk, Lord. Brad come over to the ugly building one day, and the Lord had been ministering about on this level with me for a few hours. He didn't know that. By the time he came, I was okay, you know. And he came over there. It was so funny. He had a cup of coffee. And that's when he was still with AT&T, I think, and he had on a real nice suit, you know, how Brad looks. And he come over there, and it's an ugly building. Oh, God, it is an ugly place, I'm telling you. He came over there, and every now and then he was trying to talk with me, and the presence of the Lord had just been about like it is right now. Yeah. Every now and then he'd go, oh. And then we'd talk for a little bit, and then out of nowhere, he'd wobble. And he'd go, what have you been doing over here? And I went, this. Draw nigh unto me, the Lord says. I'll draw nigh unto you, even if it's an ugly building. Oh, hallelujah. Be opening your Bibles to Hebrews 11:1. You see, I traveled halfway across the country to come and hear a message on Hebrews 11:1. Yes, you did. It's kind of like when Dave said, we're going to teach these ministers on being born again. Well, are you finding there's a few things on that trail that perhaps the body of Christ needs to know? Well, we're finding out the Lord's been showing me there's some things about hope, especially that I didn't know and I thought I did know. After all, Sue and I, those of you that know anything about us, every biscuit that comes on our table comes by faith or it doesn't get there. We don't have any secular income. We don't charge for anything we do. We leave it up to the shepherds wherever we go. If they decide to take up an offering, that's fine. If they don't, that's fine also. We even offer our materials free to their sheep if they want them. And so, you know, when you live like that for several years, people kind of look at you and say, well, I think they might know something about living by faith, you know. And I thought I did, and I know a little bit. The Lord, once I started tapping into these tapes, Now, I brought this, once I learned how to do what's on this set, I guess what I'm trying to say, all of a sudden, now when the Holy Spirit himself comes up, I don't care what subject it is, he has stuff to teach you. Paul says, we don't know anything yet as we ought to know it. Now, I didn't know yesterday that they had made a new case. This is actually the same tape set that I was talking about yesterday, Distinguishing God's Voice. How many of you were not here yesterday morning to hear me talk about that? Okay, not many. All right, so I can go pretty quickly through this. The message I delivered yesterday and what I'm going to deliver today about hope, I got by obeying what's on these two tapes. And in a nutshell, it's this. Let me just ask you this question. Assuming that, knowing that the Holy Spirit has a voice, knowing that he talks, and he is an intelligent being, and he has made us intelligent beings. He is a spirit. We are spirits. We have a spirit mind, a spirit ears. Now, if he speaks, if you could ever locate the ear of your spirit where you could hear precisely the words of the Holy Spirit in English, where he could come and tell you what you should be doing, I'm not talking about your life. I'm talking about by 3 o'clock. Every day. You think some of your problems might be over? That's exactly what's on these two tapes, is how to do precisely that. I missed it for 6 years. I listened to these tapes over and over again when we first got here. Dave goes into great detail describing the spirit of man and what it's like. He says, praying in other tongues, when you're praying in other tongues, who is creating those syllables? That's the Holy Spirit, isn't that right? He's the one that gives the utterance. All right? He says, those words are being created in your spirit mind, and he goes into great detail describing this. Now, when you pray in other tongues, those words are being created, you could say, from the mouth of the Holy Spirit, and you're hearing them with your spiritual ear. That's how you're able to pray with your spiritual tongue using your physical tongue. All right. I understood all that. He talks about praying the mysteries and the revelations and all of that. But the one thing I missed for 6 years, he says on here, the same place within you where you hear him speak to you in other tongues is the same place in you where you'll hear him speak to you in English. Your known tongue. Wouldn't make any difference if you spoke Chinese or Spanish or what. I missed that part. So what Pastor Dave recommends, and I'm just giving you the skeleton, you need the details. He says, begin praying in other tongues. Get it rolling pretty good out loud where you can hear yourself. Just do it a few moments, maybe, you know, 2 or 3 minutes. And then stop and listen. Be somewhere where it's quiet. And you can hear those tongues still rolling on the inside of you, even though you're not speaking them. Now, what are you hearing right there? Whose voice is that? Who's creating those tongues? That's the Holy Spirit. Where are you hearing them? With the ear of your spirit. Because the big question is always, well, I had an idea. Was that me, or was that God, or was that the devil? I know none of you ever have that question. Your thoughts don't originate from your spirit. Your thoughts originate from your mind. Okay? Very mental. I'm putting my, for benefit of the tape, I'm putting my head like hand on my forehead. Mental. Your thoughts originate here, the natural mind. Okay? His voice originates, he speaks to your spirit. It's a different spot. It comes from a different place than your thought, than your thinking. Now, just so you'll know, the devil pretty much... How many of you have heard Kenneth Hagin say, the battleground is the soul? Remember that? If the devil can keep you in that realm, in the realm of the soul, he'll defeat you every time. If you keep him over in the arena of faith, he'll defeat him every time. You ever heard that? Okay? His thoughts primarily occur in your mind also. They don't really originate in your holy of holies. He can't get in there. He can't communicate to you out of your spirit. He is not allowed in there.
the devil actually tried to enter your Holy of Holies, the Holy Spirit would take his head off at the shoulders. The Holy Ghost lives in there. So we've got your thoughts coming from the physical brain. The devil, he pretty much brings those thoughts to the physical brain because he's not allowed in your Holy of Holies. But the Holy Spirit, he speaks to you from your spirit in that Holy of Holies that God made in you when you got born again. The devil's not allowed in there. So if you can locate the ear of your spirit where the Holy Spirit is speaking from within that sanctuary within you, honey, you have tapped into something now. If you could actually find out from the third member of the Godhead, if he became your personal counselor, where you can hear him in English, I said, you're going to marry the right person. You're going to buy the right house. You're going to live in the right city. You're not going to be confused concerning your call. You're going to be equipped for your call. How many of you think it might be worth your time? $10. $10. These tapes are available for $10. Don't leave here if you can only buy one set. And by the way, I do not get a cut off these tapes. Don't leave town without them. Like that American Express commercial. Don't leave town without them. You've got to have these. But now what I'm going to deliver today is some of the fruit from doing exactly that. Once it dawned on me, I heard Dave say that again, and wow, I remember him saying that 6 years ago. I went to my ugly building, and I began, I spent, like most days, the first hour or two just in worship and praying in other tongues and that kind of thing, you know, just kind of getting quiet, calm down, letting some of the world roll off, you know. Get quiet in my spirit. But I had about 6 hours left that I was going to pray that day, so I thought, you know, I'm just going to give this 6 hours. I'm going to practice exactly what Dave says on that set of tapes. I'm going to pray in tongues. I'm going to shut my mouth. I'm going to listen and see if those tongues ever change to English. Well, the first time I tried it, they stayed tongues. Now, I don't know how it works for you guys. The way I do it, I just pray in English. I pray in tongues, maybe not more than a minute. I pray for, you know, a little bit loud where I can hear myself, and then I just shut up and I listen. And for me, then I can hear those tongues for 15, 20 seconds, something like that. I don't know why they fade, but they do. Then I start again. And then I start again. If they stayed tongues, I did it again. After some time in the second hour, I was prepared to do all six. I was going to come back and give eight the next day. And then eight the next day. How long were you going to do that? I'd still be doing that. Because like I said yesterday, this either works or I need to change churches. Because my pastor's not telling me the truth. Quiet in here now. Well, isn't that the... Why are y'all here? Don't you think Dave's telling you the truth?
Amen.
That's why I'm here. So I said, well, the problem's if I believe my pastor's a man of God and this is true, bless God, I'm staying here till it works. It was only an hour and a half. I was really shocked that it happened that quick. Nobody was more surprised than to me when after an hour and a half, how many times can you do that in an hour and a half? Quite a few stopping and starts, you know. By now, it's getting to be kind of routine. Okay, it's going to stay tongues, you know. So you do it again. You do it again. Nobody was more shocked than me. I read it yesterday, what he said. Get the tape from yesterday. Oh, my God. That's not tongues. Grab my recorder. And I just started speaking what I was hearing. That's all. I just started speaking it. And it was the Holy Ghost. Since then... That's only, you know, I'm ashamed to tell you. That was only August 6th. It's not been that long. And when he started teaching, one of the main things, I've written I don't know how many lessons since then, one of the main things he started teaching Gary Carpenter, the man who lives by faith. One of the main things he started teaching me on was hope. Did I ever tell you, look, go to Hebrews 11:1? Well, I know you know it by heart, but look at it again. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Well, getting saved in 1980 and growing up in the kind of sort of the pinnacle of the what we call the Word of Faith movement, at that time, I don't know if it's always been that way, but at that time the emphasis was on faith, 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 and hardly anything on hope. And I understand why it had to be that way for a while. Sometimes, you know, you have to have these pendulum swings. When the body is way out of balance on one side, you know, well, we're just a hoping and a praying. I mean, that'd been the way it had been in the church forever. And it took a man like Kenneth Hagin to come along and get us into now faith is, you know, and the pendulum kind of swung the other way for a while. And I think what God is doing now, He's centering things back up. Because if you really look at that verse, you can't accomplish anything without both of them. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Well, if there is no real godly hope on the inside of you, if it's not really hope, the way, do y'all remember the definition of what the Spirit said His definition of hope is? For those, we're going to do it again. It's when you finally come to the place where you agree with Him. See, the Bible said, Amos said, can two walk together lest they be agreed? Well, godly hope says it like this. Say it with me. What has been is not what shall be. Now, until you really move there, you're only developing godly hope. You're not in hope yet. There's no substance in you. There's no image in you for faith to manifest in this material realm. This is kind of a summary of yesterday. Okay? That kind of brings us up to where we were. Now, I'm going to pick it up here and we're going to go a little further. Some more things. This is a different lesson. Come on a different day. Okay? Now, right here, He was talking to me personally. I don't mind being transparent in front of you guys because that's how we learn, isn't it? If any of you guys are looking to me, you're sure looking in the wrong place anyhow. Half-hearted hope and clouded vision. Now, for those that weren't here, these are the words of the Holy Spirit. This is the word. These are the words I heard when I stopped praying in tongues to listen. This is His voice speaking in my ear in English. My inner ear, my spiritual ear. You ready? And I'm sure none of this would apply to you. Half-hearted hope and clouded vision has been the primary hindrance to more manifestations of my power through your faith, says the Spirit of grace. Because of your lack of understanding of the necessity of godly hope and your almost total reliance upon the spoken word, how many of y'all get my tapes? Do I teach confession? Let me read this again. Because of your lack of understanding of the necessity of godly hope and your almost total reliance upon the spoken word, I have only been able to manifest certain things that you have requested. There was not sufficient image within you for faith to give substance to. On those occasions where you have given me hope in full measure and the speaking of words that appropriate from that hope, I have freely manifested all things that you believed you received when you prayed. But where hope is not fully defined, faith cannot appropriate, no matter the volume of speaking. Andre says, I better read that again. On those occasions where you have given me hope in full measure, and the speaking of words that appropriate from that hope, I have freely manifested all things that you believed you received when you prayed. But where hope is not fully defined, faith cannot appropriate, no matter the volume of speaking. Now, let's just stop there for a minute. Again, like I said, Sue and I, for over 3 years, have pretty much what you call what you live by faith. We followed. Now, see, living by faith is not you choosing on your own to become a full-time minister and quit your job. God is not obligated one little bit to support you at all. In fact, He's almost obligated to keep His hand off of you till you fail and learn what humility is. Because He loves you. He doesn't want your life being a lie. But right on the other hand, when God comes, I said when God comes and He says, do thus and so, whatever thus and so is, if it's Him, as long as it's Him that says it, He is obligated. I said He is obligated to meet all your needs. Have you ever heard of a verse called Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. From Pottawatomie County, it would go something like this. Lord, are you telling me that if I seek you enough to find out exactly what it is you want me doing, and I do that, you yourself are going to personally, you being God, El Shaddai, you yourself are personally guaranteeing me that you're going to take care of all my stuff, and I'll have the same stuff that the Gentiles are spending their whole life seeking after? Well, how does it read in your Bible? Isn't that what it says? But the key there is seeking first the kingdom. You've got to find out what it is He wants you doing. You've got to find out His will for your life, not mine. You can't. It doesn't do any good to imitate what He told me. You could follow exactly in precise detail everything that the Lord has said to me, and you may fall on your face. Because if it's not His plan for you, He's not obligated to finance it. As long as I stay true to what He's told me to do, He will finance mine if He has to raise up 5 millionaires around me and train them Himself to be gospel entrepreneurs. Y'all didn't hear that. I'm telling you, as long He is obligated. It's His word, not mine. That's a great day when you get that revelation. As long as I obey Him. Now that involves a lot of things. That means I have to spend enough time with Him to hear Him. That does not mean you can spend 90% of your time at the movies and running around and playing the golf course and doing whatever it is you like to do. And if He happens to get through to you, you'll obey Him. No. It means your life belongs to Him. Whatever He says, you're going to do that. And you're going to spend enough time with Him. You're going to pull open that curtain and go in there, in that Holy of Holies, and spend time with Him so that light can be transferred into you. And as you start finding out His will, the guarantee is if you do it then, whatever He says to you, do it. Listen, He finances His deal. Jesus is Lord of all. Have you ever heard of that? I got news for you. I don't care what the devil says. That includes the money. Now, the devil's got it locked up in his system of mammon. Mammon is not Lord. Jesus is Lord of all. Don't even get me going there. That's a Houston message. I have to go to Houston to preach that one. Hallelujah. But now, getting back to this hope thing, I'm going to skip on down, I think, for this just for a minute. Yeah. Because right at the end of this one, he said something astounding. Those of you that know Sue and I, or that get our tapes, I try and stay pretty simplistic and pretty childish. I'm not a real quick person. Now, once I get something, I've got it forever, but I'm not real snappy, you know. I always admire guys like Brad that have that real quick mind, that snappy retort. I get a snappy retort about 2 weeks later after I need it, you know. I said, boy, I wish I'd have said that 2 weeks ago, you know. I'm not quick like that. So I still, to this day, when I want to make a formal petition to my Father, I mean, we're talking about something in the natural. I need a car. I need a computer. I need something like that. Let's just talk on that realm for a minute. Don't tell me you don't talk to Him like that. You do too. But if you're not, you should. I keep a ring binder, and Sue and I will talk it over. I don't flippantly make petitions to a king. I never have. When I was an engineer working for Union Carbide, I would never have thought of turning in a requisition order without doing my homework. I'm not going to send a requisition order upline to vice presidents without making sure this is what we need, this is the size, I don't want them having to do my homework. That's my job. Okay? So once I make my requisition, even in the natural, I had done my homework. So we do that, and we put our petitions in a ring binder. We date them. That's our point of contact. We agree. We come together, Mark 11:23-24. We believe we receive when we pray right then. From that point, and we shall have them. So from that day forward, every day, part of my prayer time is just literally, Father, I thank you. We believe we receive this when we pray. Father, I thank you that you heard us when we prayed. We've got this petition. We receive it. We thank you for it, Lord. I know we shall have it. I'll go on to the next one. Now, that's been our method of operation for years. Now, here's the thing, though. See, once he started talking to me about this, where he says, now, every time you've given me hope in full measure, I've been able to manifest those things. And when you haven't, I haven't been able to manifest them. Well, I got to thinking about that ring binder. See, that is my book of petitions. And what's funny, there's some things I ask for that seem to get answered fairly quick. Maybe a day, maybe a week, maybe less than 30 days. How many knows there's other pages in there that are starting to get yellow with age? And I'm going, what's the deal here? You know, how come some of these things, it's not like they're bigger necessarily, like this must be harder for God. You know? No, it may just be some little thing. I mean, nothing really big, but that one hasn't manifested. And how come? I mean, I prayed that long time before I prayed some of these others that have. I don't understand. Well, he got to talking to me about that. Now, I'm going to come right on down. We're going to come back and fill in the blanks here. But while I've got that on my mind, listen to this. Now, remember, he started off saying clouded. How did he say that? I can't even. Half-hearted hope and clouded vision. Now, listen to this. Okay. For this season, now, him talking to me. For this season, learn to simply ask of me, that would be the Holy Ghost. Before you make your petitions, ask me this question. Quote, is this request according to the mind of Christ or not? You and I will discuss them. Now what he's saying is, Sue and I have made our petition, we've written it out, but before we formally go before the Father, the Holy Spirit's saying, pass that by my desk first and ask me this question. Holy Spirit, is this request okay? Is this according to the mind of Christ? Now listen to what he says. You and I will discuss them before you make the petition. At times I may say, alter this, change that, increase this, decrease that. I will reveal to you the timing for certain things that must needs be. I am your counselor. I will help you prepare your petitions ahead of time. This will eliminate much wavering in your hope. This will cause each petition you make to the Father to be made upon the foundation of hope that is rock solid like an image in you that cannot be moved. No longer upon the wavering shores of sand upon which you have tried to live by faith in the past. Just simply ask me, son. I will tell you the truth. It is not the Father's will that you be without His counsel regarding every petition. He sees your heart, son. He knows your desire is to please Him. And yes, review with me those petitions that you... Now, so he's talking to me about the petitions we're going to make. Now listen to this about the ones we already have that are of long standing. Review with me those petitions that you now have standing before the throne. Together we will adjust them. Does this sound like a counselor to you? We will revise them that you may resubmit them. Now this time, when they're resubmitted, they will be submitted in such a manner that your hope will stand full stature within your soul, that faith may take from that solid substance and manifest them solidly in the earth.
This is the delivery system from your provider. Worship Him with me. My glory valve. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Woo. You know, this sounds like counseling I used to get in college. You have a problem, you go and talk with the counselor. You know? So I got to doing this. I got my ring binder out. Wouldn't you after that? And you know, I also keep in the back, see, as things get manifested, you know, then I put a date on them, and they go in the back half, and that's where all of our testimonies come from, telling how God did this and how God did that. I usually write a little thing about how it happened, you know. And I got to examining those that have manifested with these where they're starting to turn yellow from age. You know, now I know this is a shocker. He was right. There are the things that have happened in the past. I had it. Not only did I have a clear-cut picture or image of them on the inside. Now, I'm pretty much at this point talking on the realm of material things. We're teaching on that level right now. Things like computers, printers, diamond rings, other things. It took him a long time to get enough religion out of me to ask for that diamond ring for my wife. One of the quickest, I mean, he just sent that thing, you know. But religion had told me he wouldn't do such a thing. God says he will, and he did. But I had a clear-cut image of that. Why did you have such a clear-cut image? Because Sue had taken me to the jeweler and showed me what it's supposed to look like. I knew what it was supposed to look like. I could see it on the inside. Amen? Now, I know what computers look like. And I know what printer. So, I mean, I had, and it's more than that. Not only did I have an image, there was no guilt in me. It had to come to the place where there was no guilt in me for asking. You with me? Now, that's why I couldn't, all those years before, have even thought of asking God for something like a diamond ring, a wedding ring for my wife. Little by little, I'm learning He really is El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. Took a long time, though. Took a long time. Now, I got to find it. Now, so I got to comparing things that had come like that, and sure enough, I had had a clear-cut image, plus there was no guilt in me at the time for asking. I was assured. I had that confidence on the inside. This was okay with Him. It was all right. He liked this. Then I got to examining some of these things that's been in there a long time. And to be honest with you, now, here's the amazing thing. Seems like everything the Lord does with me is on a practical vein. It's spiritual, but it translates into practical. I mean, the idea is this stuff supposed to work, is it not? We're not supposed to have some kind of theoretical gospel that doesn't translate to your rent payment. You know? You see what I'm saying? And ultimately, that's not what this is about. Ultimately, we're not supposed to have a gospel that's theological that doesn't open blind eyes in your church. But see, if you don't learn faith on this level, if we don't learn it here, we're never going to go there. If a God can't feed your mouth, if your God's not big enough to send you a biscuit, you think He's going to send eyeballs through your hands? You know, you see what I mean by the anointing flowing through you? We can't believe God for a biscuit. You know, we need to grow up. Well, I got to examine in these things that had not manifested. And even though I'm thinking of one in particular. I don't want to tell you what it is necessarily. But I was looking at this. This is something I have been thanking God for well over a year, maybe 2 years. Now, sometimes it's just a matter of standing. Because I confessed that ring for 3 years before it manifested. So sometimes that's all there is to it. It's just a matter of time. But then there's other things. I got to looking at some of these other ones. And this one in particular. Now, even though I had been going through here every day, Father, I thank You that we believe we received when we prayed. We have this. We shall have it in the future, but in here we've already got it. I thank You for it in Jesus' name. I've been doing this for well over a year. Now, He said to go back and re-examine them. Talk to Him about them. Like He's real. Now, I don't know how you guys would do something. I opened up my ring binder. I said, well, how about this one? What do you got to say? Talk to me. Coriandi stella, listen. Coriando stella, listen. Scary. He talked back. But he didn't talk back so much this time in English. What he started doing, come to find out, there were questions, unanswered things in my heart about this that I had never even really formulated in my mind. I thought I had the image of this in me. I'm finding out it really wasn't, like he said in that one place, an image chiseled out of stone that would withstand storms and winds and that kind of thing. If anything, it may be an image. Mine's kind of made out of plastic. It's a rubbery thing. It's still moving. It wavers, you know. I got to looking at this. There was unanswered questions even within me. And I'm going, well, is that really the way I want it? Am I sure that's going to line up with the call of God on our life? I'm not sure. And before it was over, I had written out about 6 questions that I really had in my heart about that particular thing that I had never really even formulated with my mind. Hope was not a firm image on the inside of me regarding that thing. I was kidding myself. How many of y'all have ever kidded yourself thinking you've been standing in faith? You really want to, you know. Let me back up a little bit. Now that you understand that, I want to back up and read you, fill in some of the blanks here. That can't be right. Oh, yeah. We're going to let you go at 4. Now, we're not going to have the normal break halfway through since we're letting you go at 4. Now there is no condemnation to those that need to use the bathroom before 4. Feel, if you need to go, just go, okay? Don't be waiting for a break, or there's not going to be any break. All right. Let me fill in some of this. Hope must be erected as a monument of solid stone which cannot be moved by circumstances, says the Lord. Hope must not be a thing made of vapors, nor be a flowing thing such as a liquid, but hope must be erected as a solid substance within you first, before faith can manifest that substance in the material realm. Again, he's talking to me. The things that have prevented you, Gary, didn't say Gary, I added that. The things that have prevented you from understanding the Father's mind are still those things, those dregs of religion that remain at the bottom of your vessel. But be of good cheer, for each day that you spend with me, I am scooping out those dregs and washing away even the stain of them from your soul. As you continue to spend time with me, I am transforming your mind to conform with the very mind of Christ, who is free from all such dregs. Even your soul shall become a vessel purified with the very mind of Christ. Even the suggestion of thoughts of religion shall be things to be abhorred, and you will instantly reject them. For you shall know him whom the Father has sent, and by him you shall know the Father who sent him. This is eternal life. Glory to God. Then he started talking to me about that part I read you there. Now, can you imagine? I had not known it was possible until I started practicing that we could have counsel and leadership from the Holy Ghost on that level. What if Jesus wasn't kidding when he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to send you another comforter. And that word another in the Greek means just like me. What if his intention all along was for us to have the same relationship with the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that the 12 had with Jesus? Just as they would walk side by side with him on those missions and day after day, and if they had a question, they would turn to him and ask him, and he would simply give them an answer right then.
What if that's the same relationship we're supposed to be having with the Holy Ghost all this time? And what if every time you've turned to Him, He's answered? The problem is, we did not know how to locate our spiritual ear where that answer comes. I think He's probably more frustrated than us about it, if it's possible for Him to get frustrated. It would have to grieve Him. Now, I'm thinking, He's the one that's been sent to safely guide all of the Lamb's people safely through a world of darkness. And they're all deaf to His voice. And it's not that God made them deaf. Religion made them deaf. Isn't that scary stuff? Wouldn't it grieve you? What if... Andrea, may I? What if Andrea, her whole... I mean, look at... Is anyone on earth more precious than her? Look at her. Well, glory to God.
Go ahead, Gary. Keep on.
Yes. Hallelujah. And here she's walking through... Now, I'm going to take the role of the Holy Spirit walking right beside her. Now, she's got problems. She's going through life. Things are happening. And she's going through life. I'm right with her all the time. I'm the one that's been sent. The Holy Spirit, God, the third member of the Godhead, come to be a comforter to her so she won't be orphanless, so she can have help. And we're going through life. And every now and every problem that comes, she turns. She speaks directly to me and asks for help. Say, help.
Help. Please help me. No.
And here I am. Here I am. Now keep walking. Okay. And here I am giving the answer. And she's totally deaf. Totally deaf. Cannot, it's not, she didn't, wasn't being rude. She didn't hear. What if it's been that way? That's the way it has been. I'm just telling you, that's what the Holy Ghost has been telling me. He said, it was always the Father's intention. See, Jesus said, it is expedient for you. It is better. Y'all remember last year when I preached on that? And I was going, how could it be better? How could it be better, Judy? How could it be better, Jesus, that you left? He says, because if I don't leave, the Comforter will not come unto you. See, Jesus, He told him, He says, look, I'm not walking in the dark. A man walking in the dark, he stumbles over everything. I'm not walking in the dark. You think I am because you can't see the one that's bringing me light. He's in here with me. The Holy Ghost and I, we talk all the time. In fact, I don't do anything except I see my Father do it. Now, the Father's in heaven, is He not? Jesus is on the earth, isn't that correct? So if He's seeing what the Father's doing, who do you think it is bringing Him the sin? It's the Holy Ghost showing Him. He says, I don't even say anything unless I hear my Father say it. How's He hearing that? Same Holy Ghost that He sent you. He said, it's really better for you. Right now, you have to be where I am, Jesus says. If you want to hear God, if you want to know the thoughts of God, if you want to hear what the Father's doing, if you want to see what the Father's doing, you've got to be where I am. I want to make you a better deal than that. I'm going to have to leave in order to make it happen. But you're going to wind up being better because the same Comforter that's leading and empowering me, I'm going to send Him to you. And you won't have to be where I am geographically. Because this Comforter, He's everywhere at once. Woo! That's what He meant. He says, I'm going to put the light... Now, here's a statement you're free to reject. I've never heard anything like this in my life. Until I started this. You might ought to write it down. I don't think you'll find it in any books. You might. I don't know. I never heard anything like it. One day He was teaching me about the mindset of Christ on the throne. How would you like to have that lesson? For $10,000 a piece. I'm in the process now of assembling as much as I can of these things into some kind of booklet or pamphlet, but I have to do some editing, and plus I want the wisdom. I want to pass this by men of God that have preceded me. You understand what I'm saying? I'm new at this. August 6th, give me a break. One of the things that he was just telling me, things, how Jesus thinks today. Wouldn't you like, How's Jesus thinking today, seated at the right hand of majesty? Here's the thing that he said to me. I've never heard anything like this in my life. He says, Christ understands. I'll go slow so you can write it. Christ understands that his life is the only life that has ever proceeded from the Father that I will anoint with dominion. I'll do my best. His life is the only life that has ever proceeded from the Father that I will anoint with dominion. Dominion. D-O-minion. I don't know. Dominion. Now I got to thinking about that. Now, in the beginning, Adam, where did his life come from? Came from the Father, isn't that right? And did not the Father say, and let them have dominion? Okay, but the very thing that Adam lost in the garden was, when he committed high treason, he lost that dominion. His connection with the Holy Ghost was severed. Isn't that right? When that death came in, that was not that life any longer. And the Holy Spirit says, I can't anoint that. See, that's why the devil was able to overthrow mankind, basically. Adam couldn't stop him. He didn't have dominion anymore. And so, like Dave said this morning, for 4,000 years, there's no man born, no woman born on this planet that had that life from God in them at all. And the Holy Spirit's going, I can't. Now, every now and then, you'd wind up with a prophet. Because I asked the Lord, I said, wait a minute, Elijah, we have prophets? Wait a minute. He said, no, that's still Christ's life. They were just operating under his mantle. Now, it's kind of like that on credit thing, charge it to the cross. It's still his life. He's just placing his mantle on you before he's made incarnate. It's the same thing as when he sent out the 12. Those guys weren't born again either, were they? They didn't have the life of God. So what's he doing? He's placing his mantle, the anointing that's on his life, on them temporarily for a service. And when that's over, that dominion is over also for them. You with me? That's what we see in the Old Testament. That's the Spirit with measure. Okay? Now, we get born again, though, and in this dispensation, what did Jesus say? Without me, you can do nothing. See, unless you get born again, where the life that he has in himself, he gives for you to have in yourself, and once that life is in yourself, the Holy Spirit goes, whoa, this is that life that I anoint with dominion.
Hallelujah.
Now, when they speak in Jesus' name, when that's that same life. Now, it's not very developed. He's the only one up here. Harry's bigger than me. I can't take one. No, but he's looking in all of us, though. You see, because the Holy Spirit, he's only authorized to enforce the mind of Christ. So, okay, you remember, it'd be kind of like that situation where the Sons of Thunder, Jesus, they won't rent us a Motel 6 room tonight in this town. Shall we call down fire from heaven and consume them all? The motel refused to rent us a room. Let's just consume them, Lord. You know? And he says, you know, now, aren't you glad? He says, you know not what spirit. They're of the wrong life right there. Aren't they operating out of the wrong life? Aren't you real glad the Holy Spirit did not enforce dominion on those words? Because the last time you lost your temper at your wife or your friend and you said what you said, and the Holy Spirit would have enforced dominion right then, there'd be toast. Crispy critters. Isn't that right? So what it is, he only enforces dominion on that life. That life right there. See, look at, go over to 1 John for a minute. I taught a message down at Bronx Church that I really enjoyed when I got to hear it. Because it came so by the Spirit, I didn't really hear it when I was down there. But I said, when I listened to the tape, I went, hey, that's not bad, you know. Let's read it first, and then I'll talk about it. If I can ever find... I used to have 1 John in here.
Second Peter, First John, there it is. Hallelujah. First John, starting in chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now get this, for the life, the singular, the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. All right? The way he got that across to me is like this. The Father's looking over the earth before Jesus, and he's going, every single one of them's dead. There is not a human being, hasn't been one for 4,000 years, that's spiritually alive. There is no life in these people, not in their spirits. There must be some way. I have to have some way of getting life back into the earth, getting life back into these people. What could be done? Let's see. What could be done? Oh, my son, who has always existed. He is life. I will package him, life, in human flesh, in the earth, and he will become like a seed. And when he is sown into the earth and resurrected, that life that is in him will be available to all that receive him, and I will reseed the earth with life, one human being at a time. Look what he says. Look what John says. Verse 2. No, verse 1. That which was from the beginning. Who is that? That's deity. That's the second member of the Godhead. That's the one who has no beginning. That's Christ the Lord, Christ in deity, He is the Alpha, the Omega, and so forth and so on. You got me? Which we have heard. There, he's saying, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard with our physical ears, which we have seen with our physical eyes, we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested. God clothed life in the human flesh, packaged life for us, sent it Federal Express to the earth. However you want to. Can you see what he did? We got to watch him, John says. We follow around and be with him. We saw what life was like, and we didn't have it. He had it. We didn't. But he said an astounding thing one day. He says, you know, I could remain here and be the only one on this whole planet with life. But he says, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be the seed that falls into the ground and die. But when I'm glorified, then all that will believe in me, that life that I have in myself, you will now have in yourself. And life has once again been packaged in human flesh. This time, it's yours. And the Holy Spirit goes, that's that life that I anoint. I see that life in old LaRue there. Now, if I could ever get his mind to conform to the will of Jesus, we could get some things done in the earth. Glory to God. You see that? Now, this same book, this same John, go over to chapter 5, I think it is. We're going to talk about answered prayer here for a minute. Hallelujah. Now, we'll just pick it up with this thought. He's still talking about this same. You saw how he opened with that thought? You know how Pastor Dave says, keep everything in context, meditate? Now, see if it sounds to you like he's still talking about that life. Watch this. 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. You see how you've got it? He had life in himself. You received the Son. You have life in yourself.
Say, I've been born again. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now watch. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now he's going to talk about prayer. Now, we started this by hope, and he's having me go back through my petitions. You think I've got off the track, but I haven't. Now what? We're talking about answered prayer. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. According to whose will? He who? I'm hearing everything. Himself, Christ, the Father, the Son. I'm hearing everything. It's Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church. He's the one that you bowed your knee to. After he made you a free son, he come, the Son, whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Amen. And he came one day and I got the new birth and he made me a free citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And I'll tell you the truth, I could go to heaven and never serve him in the sense of seeking my call. His blood is enough to get me there. Now, I may live in the furthest corner. Well, I love the way Brad put it, where you come in the pearly gates and they hand you a pair of binoculars and they go, can you see the Lamb? I think I see him. I'm so far away from the throne, I can't hardly tell. Brad, come out. Isn't that good? I do not want that. I do not want that. See? But you can get there that way. And there's going to be people that way. Okay? I don't want that. See? Now, the point being is this. You got born, but I did get born again. And the moment I got born again, I'm a free citizen. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm free from sin. I got that same dominion. You know, like Dave's been saying, sin shall not have dominion over you. I got the mind of Christ. I'm washed in the blood. I'm a kingdom of heaven. Devil! I'm not charging on master charge anymore. I got the real thing, just like this morning. You got it? And not, and still yet, not bow the knee. But see, you guys aren't like that or you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't have traveled halfway across the country because you did what I did. You set me free. I am free. I'm a free citizen of heaven. I'm not under obligation. I bow the knee by choice. Jesus, I will serve you all the days of my life. My life belongs to you, Jesus. Whatever you want me to do, that's exactly what I want to do. I don't care if it's sweeping the parking lot or preaching from the pulpit. It makes me no difference. If I live one day, let it be my best for you. If I live till you come, that's up to you, Lord. If I, whatever it is, I don't care, Jesus. I bow my knee to you. You are my master. You are my Lord. You're the head of the church. I am your bond slave by love and love alone. I'm not a hireling. I serve you unto death. Now, seeing that, let's read that verse again. Verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, the Son, he, the Father, heareth us. Now that's just another way of saying what John recorded Jesus said in his Gospels when he said, if you ask anything in my name, the Father will give it you. In my name. He said it this time this way. If we ask anything according to his will, the will of Christ Jesus, the head of the church, the one you bowed your knee to, the one that bought you. If you're serving him. In John's gospel, it was Jesus said it this way, if you ask anything in my name, meaning, are you mine? Are you one of my purchased possessions? Are you serving me? Have you set out to do kingdom business in my name based on my assignment for you? I'm telling you, if you have, anything you ask the Father in my name based on my assignment to you, I'm guaranteeing you the Father will give it you. He didn't put any limits on it. Material things.
spiritual things, anointings, anything you need. In the name of Jesus, it's yours. But you see the prerequisite? It's in His name. You're serving Him. I can't find any record. I can't find any promises like that if you take Matthew 6:33 and phrase it this way. If you choose never to seek the kingdom of God, you spend your whole life not concerned about the kingdom at all, nor seeking His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. I can't find a verse like that anywhere. Let me say it a different way for effect. Spend your whole life serving yourself and the Father will meet all your needs. Be Lord of your own life and all these things shall be added unto you. Can you find any promises like that? No. So what's this got to do with hope? It's got everything to do with hope. I was asked the other day by somebody, says, well, how do I get this hope? Depends on what level you're operating. If you're new to these things and you're at the point right now of sickness is maybe trying to take you out. Listen, your hope is built right here on the solid word, the finished work of Jesus Christ. By His stripes you are healed. Himself bore your sicknesses and carried your pains. You with me? That's a free gift to you. That's a direct attack from the devil. And I'll be honest with you, you can be healed whether you're serving God or not. It's free by grace. Okay? You with me? But now when it comes to your finances, people wonder, what about my finances, Lord, you know? Well, for one thing, if you'd ever learn to quit worrying about them, that would help a lot. He says, why do you take thought for such things as this? Don't you know that the Father's plan for your life has a lot more to do than you just getting your physical needs met? Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? You know, the Father would like to do some wonderful things through your life. If you spend your whole life concerned about getting your needs met yourself, you're not going to have much time left for the kingdom. But if you'll give your life to serving the kingdom first, the Father, He'll give His attention to meeting all of your needs. I call that a good swap. Now, but with all that in mind, see, going back to this prayer thing, I want you to get this. Verse 14. Because John wants it too. He says, I'm writing this stuff that I want you to have confidence when you pray. How many of you want confidence when you pray? Confidence. All right? He says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, Jesus Christ, the head of the church, the one that you're serving, He, the Father, hears us. Verse 15. And if we know that He hears us, the Father, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Now, isn't that something? Now, if you could ever come to that level of confidence, do you think your hope would be operating pretty high? I have a message called Seeing Beyond the Veil. Remember that? God was dealing with me about prosperity. Actually, that's in one of my prosperity tapes. Seeing Beyond the Veil doesn't sound very much like a prosperity tape, but it is, because God showed me. He says the number. He showed me a little mini vision, driving the trucks. This was still while I was driving trucks, and I saw in this mini vision there was like a curtain draped across here, and I could see bare arms reaching, several arms reaching like through that curtain to the other side, grasping, trying to obtain what was on the other side of that curtain. They couldn't see because the curtain was in the way. But I could see the arms reaching through. They were getting through to the other side, but they were coming up empty. You got that? Well, I'm watching this for a while. I'm thinking, what in the world is this? I'll do my best to repeat it verbatim. The Holy Spirit said, He says, my people in this generation have been taught the mechanics of faith accurately. But because they cannot see beyond the veil, beyond the end of their own life, to understand their call with an eternal purpose, then they know not those things that belong to them in the spiritual realm. Because they cannot see their inheritance, they cannot obtain by faith the things that truly belong to them in their call. Now that's just a real pretty way of saying God finances His deal, not yours. So I would say, when I started reviewing those petitions, trying to solidify my hope, every one of them, now that I know I have a counselor, I'm going to just take some things. I'm making stuff up. So, okay, let's just take, I want you to understand the nuts and bolts of what I'm talking about. Let's just say that one of the petitions I had in there, it's not, I'm making it up. You got me? But let's say that I had made a petition, oh God, give me a boathouse in Jamaica. I don't know. Is that okay? I'd like, oh God, I've always wanted a boathouse in Jamaica. I want to have a boathouse in Jamaica, Lord. Thank you. I make my petition. I'm dating, not signing it. And maybe that's 4 years before I learn how to distinguish God's voice. And I made that petition. So I've been going through every day for 4 years. Oh God, I believe I received when I prayed. I'm thanking you for the boathouse in Jamaica. Thank you, Lord, that I have a whole boathouse in Jamaica. I'm thinking, I'm seeing myself in a boathouse in Jamaica. Oh, God, I'm saying I have a boathouse in Jamaica, God. See, you know, and I teach this stuff. So, you understand? We're trying to get to where it works. One day I find out I have a counselor. His name is the Holy Ghost. He's the one Jesus said he would send to guide me into the truth. Not just the knowledge of the truth, the Word, the knowledge of His will for my life. And I sit down, he and I start talking like I'm talking to you. Except he gets to talk back. All right, now we'll talk later. And I'm going, oh God, by the way, we're going through my petitions. And I say, Lord, I would like your input, Holy Spirit, on these petitions of mine. I mean, I've been confessing these things for 4 years. I've seen them. I'm saying them. I ain't getting them. And you come, and so we go through them, and we happen to come to this boathouse in Jamaica. And the Holy Spirit says, you know, if you'd have asked me sooner, I'd have told you that actually you're going to spend your days in Antarctica. No, okay. That's what people expect. Let's do it this way. You're going to spend your days on Wall Street in New York in a fancy penthouse. And it's going to be you, me, and a computer and an internet line. And most of your days, you're going to be making $2 or $3 million a day for the kingdom of God as a gospel entrepreneur. And, The days when you're off, if you really want that boathouse in Jamaica, you can have it. But now you need to understand the priorities. First, you need to ask me for the penthouse in New York. And even before that, you need to spend time with me so I can train you to be that gospel entrepreneur. Because once I train you and you're that valuable in the kingdom, the Father Himself will pick up the tab for both the penthouse and the boathouse in Jamaica. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Now, conversely, he could have said also, see, if you're really that servant, he could have said, you're going to go with Christine Carmichael up and down the Amazon River. 2 years from today, you're going to be shot through the temple with a frog dart and die and come home and be with me. You don't have time for a boathouse in Jamaica. Isn't it serious stuff? Isn't it serious stuff? You say, well, why wouldn't you heal me from a frog dart? Well, in this particular case, your blood, you'll be a martyr at that time.
And it's going to be such a thing, so established in all the papers, that there's going to be such a revival in Peru like the world has never seen when the report of that gets out. I'm making this stuff up. Can you tell the potential there? Does this sound like talking with a real person? You know, my daddy loves me. He'd give me all the counsel he can. I'm talking about my earthly daddy. Daddy, now let's talk out. I'm going to get really dumb, you know. Said, Dad, I want to go to Oklahoma City. Would it be best to go through Stroud or Omaha? He says, you know, Stroud might be your best route, son. Omaha might be a little bit out of the way from Tulsa to Oklahoma City. You know, it's not that much different. Our Father has sent us His own Spirit to give us counsel. So we don't have to be going through life wondering this, wondering that, wondering this, wondering that. And you know what's really funny? If he was to really... Okay, going back to the boathouse in Jamaica. Now, he might really want a boathouse in Jamaica. Until he really showed you making millions from a penthouse in New York. And then all of a sudden, you're going, I don't even care about no sloppy house in Jamaica, man. See, because whatever he shows you is going to be what he created you for in the first place. I don't really think Christine Karma. I just love Christine. If y'all don't know her, she's a missionary servant for God. Goes up and down the Amazon River. Christine, are you in the room? Would you stand up for a minute? Look at her. She could be anything. She could do anything she wants. Look at her. How many years you been in Peru? 10 years. Up and down the Amazon, giving them medical supplies freely. She's got some training in that area. Gives them medical supplies. I mean, up and down a boat in the Amazon, going through jungle to these tribes. And while she's there, preaches the gospel and establishes churches. That's those people I'm telling you about. I can't hardly talk about them, you know. I hold those kind in the highest esteem. You know, I sit here in my air-conditioned building. But now, I don't think Christine goes up and down that river every day going, oh God, I wish I was in a penthouse in New York. Maybe every once in a while. But really, if she went to a penthouse in New York, when she's supposed to be in the Amazon, she'd be so miserable. She might like it the first few days, but pretty soon she's going to know she's out of the will of God and that grieving, you know. See, here's the thing. Once you find His will, whether it's what the world would call wonderful or the world would call bad, if it's His plan for your life, it's what you're made for. And you'll love it. Little kids coming up, you know, dirty and along the Amazon, giving you the dried out lizards or something, you know, because that's all they got to give you. You know, and you'd rather have it. You see that little, you know, and that's one that you led to Christ. Man, you'd rather have that dried up lizard skin than the finest filet on Broadway. You know what I'm saying? If it's what you were made for, it's God's call. Listen, part of my job this week is to just, can you see the fruit? It just since August 6th, I'm not hawking these tapes for this purpose of selling tapes. Do you understand me? There is a realm to walk in we've hardly touched. I don't want to go through my life like that demonstration with Andre a while ago. And I keep asking for help and asking for help and asking for help. And the Holy Spirit is giving the answers, giving the answers, giving the answers. And I'm deaf, deaf, deaf. Because I'd never learned how to listen at the ear of my spirit. God, help me not live my life like that. If He has made available to us such a true counselor, if we really haven't been left orphans, if we can walk in the same counsel that He walked in on this earth, listening to the guidance that comes from the Father by the Holy Spirit, and again, I've got about 10 minutes, so let me do this. I know most of you have heard Dave teach on the raising of Lazarus. Isn't that right? Just in case, and real quickly, Sue calls me the master of synopsis. Now listen, every faith person, how many of you here are faith people? See your hand? Every faith person I know, and even Alton Cagle, who's pretty doggone led of the Spirit, nearly every faith, myself and every faith person I know practically would have fallen into that trap. Your best friend is sick unto death. You have the anointing of the gift of healing, and you know you got it. And they send you a message. Your best friend is dying. If you don't come, he's going to die. And because you've been trained and you know not to be moved by circumstances, I don't care how serious it is, I don't care how bad it looks, you know to turn to the counselor on the inside. You turn to the counselor and the counselor says, don't go. It's a trap. The Jews are waiting to kill you there. The devil made your friend sick to draw you there so the Jews can kill you. Now you wait. If you don't have that message of Dave's, you ought to get it. It's called the raising of Lazarus. And if you don't, I mean, it's there. He says, don't worry about a thing. Lazarus is going to die. The Jews are going to figure you're not coming. They're going to disperse. Then I'll tell you to go on down there. You'll just raise your friend from the dead. Everything will be fine. But without that kind of counsel, myself and every faith person I know would have gone. We'd have reasoned it like this. I'm anointed to heal the sick. Jesus said, believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Lazarus, my good friend, is sick. And even if somebody would have said, yeah, but it's a trap. The Jews are waiting there to kill you. I know what we'd have said. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Bless God, I'm going. Wouldn't we? We'd pick scriptures that fit what we already decided we're going to do. See? And the Holy Ghost by now is going. I say, Jesus wouldn't have done that. He wouldn't have said, no weapon formed against me will prosper, bless God, I'm going on down there. Why wouldn't he have done that? He had a counselor.
Yeah.
You got it, didn't you, Kat? Now, even you called to gospel entrepreneurship, if you're called of God, and I'm specifically not looking at Brad because I know he is. You are too. If you're called of God, now really, just like God, if God calls, if God calls an evangelist, does He intend for the fruit to be people saved? If God calls a Benny Hinn like a healing ministry, does He intend for people to get healed? If God calls a gospel entrepreneur, does He intend for that person to make money? Do you think just like He has counsel for the evangelist and just like He has counsel for the healing anointing, do you think He might have counsel for the gospel entrepreneur? You think He might ever come and say at 2 o'clock on Tuesday, buy GM now. Hold it until Friday. 10:37, sell it at market. See you later. Follow those instructions, period. Do what I tell you. Don't figure it out. Don't look at charts.
Yes, sir.
Listen to me. Now that whole gospel entrepreneur set over there, if you don't have those, and if you think you're called, it's that gospel entrepreneur instruction. They're wonderful. You need them. But if you boil them all down to just a couple of sentences, here's what they say. You'll spend the vast majority of your day with me. You'll only come out of my presence for an hour or two today, hour or two a day to make decisions. And then the rest of the time, you'll spend with me. Trouble is, we might go in there and spend a day with Him. But if you haven't learned how to locate the ear of your spirit, it's still going to be kind of difficult to get His counsel. $10! For God's sake, don't leave without these tapes. And that sets for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Did you get anything out of that?
Amen.
How many of y'all think? Okay. Give the Lord praise for it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for a comforter. Thank you, Lord, for a comforter. Hallelujah. A real counselor. Hallelujah. Now, do remember those things about hope. Hope does have to become solid on the inside of you. For a lot of us, that's why we haven't been getting what we prayed for. It's still wishy-washy. We haven't sat down and really thought this over, even if you haven't developed this. Look at it in the context of your call, because if it doesn't fit your call, your hope is not solid anyway. Okay? Did y'all get anything out of that? Hallelujah.